Hello, my name is Pastor Michael E. Tom. I want to welcome you to our July the 8th, 2007, 11 a.m. service. We're going to be preaching a message today entitled, You're Always on My Mind. We're coming from Isaiah, I believe, 49, verses 12 through 16. And before we get into the Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening through our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's E-A-T-O-N. You may be listening from our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. You may have listening on a CD, or you may be listening on our podcast, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem. From whatever venue you're joining us today, we just want to welcome you, and we're going to pray that God will speak to you in His and through His Word. So now, let's get into the Word.
You're always on my mind. You're always on my mind. Let me remind you that I'm still in a series entitled Beauty from Ashes. And throughout this series, we are letting Christians know that God can take the ash of their life and make beauty. Ash is symbolic of destruction. Ash is symbolic of ruins. But God can take that thing, that person, that incident, that accident that happened in your life that was a tragedy that you could describe as ash, and He can make beauty.
Thank you, Lord.
And again, today's message is that it reminds you that God hasn't forgotten about you, that He's going to see, you're going to see how God will turn the ash of ruins in your life into the beauty of restoration.
Yes, sir.
Into the beauty of restoration. I was reminded of a song, as again we're going to be speaking on the title, You're Always on My Mind. It's a little song that we used to sing as children, and it really has an incredible theological or truth about God that we can apply to our lives. And many of us grew up singing this song, but do you really, really know the meaning of this song? It says that He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. Not only that, but He says the song, just in case you didn't know what was going on, He says that He's got my brothers and my sisters in His hands. My brothers and my sisters in His hands. Not only that, but it talks about that God has the sun and the rain in His hands. He has the moon and the stars in His hands. He has the winds and the clouds in His hands. He has the rivers and the mountains in His hands. He has the oceans and the seas in His hands. And just in case you forget, He's got the whole world in His hands. And the song goes on to say that He has everybody here in His hands. He has everybody here in His hands. You're always on God's mind. The text goes on to say, as we're going to look at three points, if the Spirit allows, that point number one, that you are in God's hands. Point number two, you are in God's heart. And point number three, you are in God's happenings. Point number one, you are in God's hands. Point number two, you're in God's heart. And point number three, you're in God's happenings. Many of you have something that you may be proud of or you may not be proud of. But it's become very fashionable today for us to have things that are called tattoos. Tattoos. I can remember when I was growing up and as a teenager, before it was as fashionable as it is right now, I can remember seeing a young lady and a young man, they had each other's names tattooed on their neck. And a tattoo is something that is done on our bodies to permanently share something that we believe about. Share someone that we love. Some of you young folk, it's Youth Day, so some of you young folk know about Eminem, and you know that on his shoulder he has a picture of his little girl by the name of Haley. All right, and it's a permanent display of his love for his little girl, Haley. All right, come on. Some of you know, and you've seen, you may not have, should have seen, the back of the man by the name of 50 Cent. And 50 Cent, if you ask him where he is, he won't say he's in the church. He say he's in the club. If you want to find him, he's in the club. That's one of his biggest hits. But if you see on his back, he has a big old tattoo of 50 Cent. 5-0. Tattoo. Now, I don't want to raise, well, I want you to raise your hands, but is there anyone here that has a tattoo? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Because some religious folk may. Don't raise your hand because some Pharisees might. Oh, I ain't gonna mess with that. But the Bible says that this morning, if you look in God's hands, what will you see? Verse 16. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. God has a tattoo. And it's not a tattoo of Haley. It's not a tattoo of 50 Cent on your back. But he has a tattoo of who? Of you. It's your name. It's in the hands of God. And if your name is in the hand of God, then can't you imagine he can take care of anything that you face today? Because we learn in the song that he has what in his hand? He has a whole world in his hands. He's got the rivers and the seas in his hands. He has the mountains in his hands. He has you and me, sister, in his hands. And not only that, but he has inscribed in his hands my name. Give God a hand clap of praise. God has in his hands. Let me illustrate this. Right, if you could see the hand of God, this is what he has. Just look at me. Those who are looking on tape, I'm doing something in my hand. I'm doing something in my hand. It's in God's hands. This is what he has in God's hands. And let me show it to you. He's got it. What is that?
Yeah.
Yeah! He's got you in his hands. Now let me remind you that this was written to a people who had lost everything.
Yes, sir.
As we move on to point number two, he says he has you in his heart. This was a people who had lost everything. Let me put it in modern day terms. As we interact with the text, it says, always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruin. In my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls that have been ruined. He has you in his hands and he has you in his heart. Because you have gone through. These people had lost everything. Everything. And let me put it in modern day terms just in case you don't think it applies. It's the divorce. And many times when people go through divorce, it's the woman who ends up with the least of everything. She lose everything. She lose her identity. She lose her credit. She normally lives in a worse place than she was before. She has to give up that household in the suburb and began to live in a small apartment. And statistically it says that women normally bear the worst when they go through a divorce. Ruins. God had your ruins, your divorce in his heart.
My Lord.
God has that accident in his heart, that accident where you lost everything. You're having to learn how to even walk again. That incident, you have to start from point number one, that tragedy. And you've been ruined. Because you're like a little baby and you have to learn to walk again. He has that
in his heart.
In his heart.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Yes, Lord.
He has that financial ruin. You're going to a bankruptcy. And nobody knows about it. And you're going through all of this stress and emotional strain. Nobody knows what you're going through because they don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You've been bankrupt.
Yeah.
And you've had to give up everything. He has that in his heart.
Yes, sir.
Let's get a little deeper.
All right.
He has that incident that happened to you in the middle of the night when uncle or next door neighbor came in and took advantage of you in the middle of the night. And you couldn't tell nobody. You couldn't tell your mama because that was your brother. Her brother. You couldn't tell your mama because that was mama's boyfriend. He has that incident.
Yeah.
Come on.
In your heart. And people are wondering why you're acting out the way that you are acting out. Or you decided to tell mama and mama didn't want to hear it. Because she loved that man more than she loved you. That moment in your life. Your own personal September the 11th when everything went crashing down. Your own Oklahoma City bombing incident that happened in your life. That ruin in your life. God says that it's in his heart.
Yeah.
It's in his heart. Nobody else knows about it, or you shared it, and nobody wants to hear what you're going through because they've never had to deal with that kind of ruin or that kind of destruction. And every time you're trying to share it, nobody wants to hear it because house. They can't deal with what you have gone through. And you're wondering, why can't anybody understand what I'm going through? But God says, I understand. And I know. And that incident is in my heart. He's got my name in his hands. He has your Jerusalem walls ruined in his heart. But not only that, God has you in his happening. In other words, he hasn't forgot about it. In other words, that person that hurt you, he's saying that vengeance is mine, said it's the Lord. I will repay. And this is in my happenings. See, one thing that is hard for us to grasp about God is that with God, God is forever present. He's forever in the present tense. Let me try to explain this. Forever in the present tense. You know, in the beginning, before the beginning was God. And after the ending was God. And now, in the now, we'll go ahead and say was God. He's forever. In other words, for him, that ruin that happened, that tragic incident, it never happened.
My Lord.
You say why? Because he's already restored it. Situation was taken care of in an instant.
Yes, sir.
You see, but our problem is that we have to live in time. And because we have to live in time, we have to wait for God's answer. See, God has already answered some things in your life, but you have to wait on him. You have to wait on him because he has some happenings happening in your life, and you just don't know about it yet. You see, there's spiritual warfare that's going on in the heavenly places. You see, Daniel, he shows us as an incident. He prayed that the Lord would answer his prayer. But sometime later the angel came and said there was some opposition in the heavenlies. And I had to call for reinforcements. You see, God had already answered his prayer. But he had to wait for his change to come. So you are in point number three, God's happening. And it says in the text, always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruin. And then he says, soon your descendants will come back. And all who are trying to destroy you will go away. He goes on to say, look around you and see all your children are coming back to you. In other words, he says, I've already had you in your happenings, and you've got to begin to expect for something to happen. If you are sick, you better expect your healing. If your marriage is in ruin, you better expect restoration. If your bank account is in the negative, you better expect a heavenly transfer. You better think and know that God is concerned about you. And it's already happening in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, it's already happening. Say to your neighbor, say, neighbor, it's already happening. Say to the preacher, preacher, it's already happening. Because God, say it, because God has me in his hands. God has me in his heart. Because God has me in his happenings. Give God a hand clap of praise. Give God a hand clap of praise.
Yeah.
says, everything that you lost, you can get it back.
Thank you, Lord.
He's going to restore it back. Everything that you lost, he's going to restore it back.
Yeah.
Or he's going to restore you back.
All right.
And let me preach responsibly.
All right.
There's some things in your life that need to stay ruined. Let me say that again. There's some things in your life that needs to stay ruined. Why would the Lord restore your relationship back when that man is knocking you upside the head? Why would he do that? And saying he loves you in the next instant. Smacking your kids around. Why would he restore that back? Why would he restore your finances back when he can't get 10% of what you have in the first place? All he asked for, and this is God's minimum wage, a dime on every dollar, God's minimum wage, and you're expecting him to give you good credit when you don't have good credit with God. Some things will stay ruined. Why would he give you your husband back when you disrespect him in public and in private? Why would he restore that back? Why would he restore your wife back when you don't know how to love her and cherish her as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her? Why would he give that back or restore that? Some things need to stay ruined. Why would he give you a wayward husband that has cheated on you? Cheated on him.
Oh Lord. Amen.
And you won't let it go. Why would he give him back? Some things in your life needs to stay ruined. But if you go on with God, he has a way of leaving that place and coming to a new place. And when it comes to that new place, then that's where your restoration is. So you need to be faithful to God. And if you're going through a divorce, be faithful to God. Or if you lost a mate, be faithful to God. Because only the church thinks that God won't forgive divorce.
Come on.
There's only one unpardonable sin.
All right, go ahead.
Only one. What is that? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That simply means to reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the only thing God can forgive you for. Anything else, he can forgive you and will forgive you. When other folk don't understand and they're convicting you and throwing stones at you, talking about you behind your back, God says, I'm waiting on you. I want you back. I want you to come to me, because I'm not finished with you yet. Even though your mate abandoned you, I'm not finished with you yet. Even though your children were raised in the church and they won't come to church no more, I'm not finished with you yet. You need to continue to come back and follow him. And then if you follow him as a single woman, you'll be faithful like Ruth in that barley harvest season and time, who followed her mother back and made a commitment that I'm going to go all the way with God. And she made that commitment, and she worked and she served God in that barley harvest. And then all of a sudden, a man, a rich man by the name of Boaz, looked across that field and said, good googa mooga, whose young woman is this? Good googa mooga, that's a bad mamma jamma. Good googa mooga, she's a dime piece. And oh, whose young woman is this? And before you know it, after you richer, who was cuter, who was finer, who glorified God. And I married him, and he put me in the lineage of kings. He put me in the lineage of King David. He put me in the lineage of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He restored me. He revived me. I had lost it all. Oh, let's call to the stand somebody else. Let's call Joseph to the stand. And Joseph say, oh, I had a dream that I was going to be somebody. I had a dream that even my mama and daddy was going to bow to me. I had a dream. It was a wonderful dream. But when I told my dream, nobody would believe me. When I told my dream, everybody started hating on me, drinking up that haterade. My own family, my own brothers, my own nephew and nieces were drinking up that haterade. As a matter of fact, they threw me in the pit. Oh, as a matter of fact, they sold me into slavery. As a matter of fact, I was a slave. As a matter of fact, I served in the palace. When it's all over, when he restored me, he took me from the pit to the palace, and he restored everything that I lost. I gained it again in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, he's gonna give it back. Say to your other neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, he's gonna give it back. Say to the preachers, preachers, oh preachers, he's gonna give it back. Give God a hand clap of praise if you believe that you're in God's hand.
Hello, this is Pastor Eton again. We want to thank you for joining us today. And before we sign off the air, we just want to make sure that you know that you were always on God's mind. You're always on God's mind because he wanted you to make peace with him. But before you can do that, you have to realize what the Word of God says. The Word of God says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And not only that, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And all that's bad news, but you are always on God's mind. For the Bible goes on to say in that same verse, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, God says in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, you were always on his mind, and Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, you were always on God's mind, and Christ died. Before you could even think about trying to get your life right, as some folk always say to the preacher, I got to stop doing this and I got to stop doing that before I get right with God or before I go to church. No. And the only thing you need to do to get right with God or to be in church is to pray this simple prayer based on Romans 10:9-10, which says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So all you have to do today is pray. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and come into my life as my Lord and Savior.
But what we need is a special word.
Praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time,
and give us direction,
then I want you to know that you are a newborn child of the King. That's why you are always on God's mind, because he wants to bring you into the family. And now you're in the family. Praise God for that. And now that you've been born into the family, you need a church. church home. You're in the Falls Valley area.
And he calls us son to
Seattle. Give us peace. Falls Valley, Oklahoma. We're about 55 miles outside of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in the service. But you just happened to have prayed that prayer when you're living in different parts of the United States or Canada, Asia, Kenya. Wherever you're listening, we're going to pray that God will lead you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church so that you can grow up in the things of God. We just want to thank you once again for joining us today. We're going to give you the last or final benediction. Father, we thank you. We praise you.
So give us your word, Lord.
We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you put your hedge of protection around us and keep us safe. Until we meet again in the service of death or
Lord,
in Jesus'
name. Just one word.
Amen.
From the Lord.
Great.